Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. The Jets have made an offseason signing. We know over the weekend on Friday evening, they signed Tyron Smith, who is still a very good player. The problem just is his availability, and there is going to be a stretch this season when he's unavailable because of injuries. The Jets are also signing another player who has potential, who is a good player when healthy. The problem is, we always have to say, when he's healthy. Former Chargers wide receiver, this is breaking news right now, according to Ian Rappaport, Mike Williams is signing with the Jets on a one-year deal worth up to $15 million, and it's another weapon for Aaron Rodgers, and he visited there today. I don't know if you saw this story. There was a Jet fan who I guess is also like a social media kind of influencer. Is that the right way to say it? Content creator? However you want to word it. He sent a pork roll to the Jets facility for Mike Williams. Like, he went on Uber Eats and scheduled a pork roll delivery for Mike Williams, and the Jets tweeted it out, hey, we got the order. So I don't know if Mike Williams had a few bites of the pork roll, Taylor Ham, however you want to call it. But that was enough to sweeten the pot a little bit, also a one-year deal worth up to $15 million, to get Mike Williams to land with the Jets. See, the Jets, Santa's not going to like this, because even though he puts up this front, he is a Chiefs fan. He's still down deep as a Jet fan.
You doubt me. I'm Chiefs kingdom all the way.
Yeah, until we see, like, if I didn't say that right there and I had your reaction, we would hear the excitement that you had over this, and that would tell me all I need to know. The Jets are making moves this year where, on the surface, it makes it look like they're better. Like, the fact that Mike Williams is now their number two wide receiver makes them better. The fact that they got Tyron Smith in their offensive line makes them better. But then what happens when Tyron Smith is hurt? What happens when Mike Williams gets hurt? Because these guys miss a lot of games. So this is a make-or-break year for the Jets, and we know the protection and getting more weapons around Aaron Rodgers is so important. So yes, it's better to have these guys than to not have them, but I don't think it's that far-fetched. Six games into the season, you could be saying, holy crap, Tyron Smith got hurt, and now you're back to where you were a year ago. Or Mike Williams gets hurt, and then it's like, oh, Alan Lazar, if he's still on this team, is back to being the second wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. So I almost feel as if the Jets are making moves that will elicit excitement from the fan base, but there is still like a 25% of me, and I'm not a Jet fan, but 25% of me that's just really skeptical with what the Jets are doing, because it's a fix, but will it be a quick fix? And then the injuries pop up, and then it's like, oh, well, what progress did you really make from one season to the next? So that's what concerns me here, Santer, with the New York Jets and what they're trying to do. And they sit at the draft at 10, and it's like, you still have that conversation. Do you take a offensive lineman as some insurance? Because Teron Smith is not a long-term answer, and then if he gets hurt, boom, you could plug in a left tackle for the future or something like that.
Yeah, I think the Jets are in an interesting position. I mean, they might be lining themselves up. I was just looking at the Mel Kiper mock draft. He has the Jets taking Brock Bowers 10. So I guess it kind of sets up well. If the Jets cover their three areas of need on offense, tackle, wide receiver. Again, I don't know if Teron Smith or Mike Williams can stay healthy, because they never do. But if they're comfortable with that, they can go Brock Bowers with number 10. And now Aaron Rodgers has a number one wide receiver, a good number two who can stay healthy potentially. He's got two bookend tackles. He's got a first-round pick guard, a second-round pick center coming into his second year in Tippmann. And then you've got Brock Bowers, and then that, obviously that great run game behind it. So, you know, with Breece Hall, it's lining up. If these guys can stay healthy with that Jets defense, and if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, health is the picture for the Jets. But with that defense and, like, the guys they brought in on, like, these short-term prove-it deals, these guys who are going to want to try to stay healthy so they can get this big contract, I mean, I'm not saying
you're
Super Bowl, but I'm saying that the Chiefs might have, you know, my Chiefs might have a little bit of a challenge.
The Jets aren't anywhere close to being the biggest contender to the Chiefs in the AFC. The Jets are the team, and they do this every year, and it just shows your roots and how you were raised and where your fandom is. The Jets are the car that's in the lot, and it's like, oh, we got a great deal. Oh, this great old car, it looks great. And you think you're getting a great car, and then you drive it away from the lot, you drive it away from the dealership, and you get in your driveway for a week or two, it drives nicely, maybe even a month. And then a month later, there's a light that pops on. And then you realize you have a faulty engine as well. If there's a way for something to go wrong, the Jets will find a way for something to go wrong. It's just the reality of the situation. You want to tell me the Jets are a playoff team? Okay. I can't even guarantee that. But the Bengals are still a much bigger threat to Kansas City than the Jets. I know you're just making that sound effect to try to get me riled up. It's not going to work today. All right? It's not even close. The Bengals have actually accomplished some things. The Jets are just selling you off hope. Heck, I still trust the Bills more than the Jets.
What?
Yeah, because their quarterback got hurt.
So do the Jets.
And the Bengals, why am I even arguing this with you? Like, seriously. You know Jamar Chase. They still have T. Higgins for now. And that team, they're the only team that's actually put a dent into Kansas City when they beat them three times in a row and won one of those AFC championship games. Like, the Jets right now, you can make a case they win their division. I'll still trust the Buffalo Bills more than the Jets, and I'll still trust the Miami Dolphins more than the Jets. You know me. I don't trust the Miami Dolphins all that much with the way that I opened up this show.
The Miami Dolphins lost like half their defense. And
I'm all aware. And you got Chubb coming off an injury, Phillips coming off an injury.
Yeah.
But come on. The Jets are one injury away from this offensive line going right back to where it was a year ago, and that's being a bleep show. And every year they tell you how much they fixed the offensive line, and Joe Douglas has never fixed the offensive line. I'm not saying you shouldn't make these moves, but I'll even the Texans I trust more than the Jets entering this year with what C.J. Stroud's done. They got your guy Danielle Hunter to complement Will Anderson Jr. as well. They traded for Joe Mixon. The Jets are a wild card team. You know, I know they could win the division maybe, but I think the Jets, they could be a wild card team, and I think their apex is just winning a playoff game. Rodgers couldn't get it done in the NFC. So now Rodgers in a tougher conference is going to get it done in the AFC coming off an Achilles injury. I'm just not buying what the Jets are trying to sell.
Hey, he's not running for VP. We know that for sure. His focus is fully on football at this point. He's going all in, baby. He's not going to work his butt off to come back from an Achilles injury just to kind of, you know, mess around and lollygag all over the field.
Listen to this offense.
Aaron Rodgers, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, potentially Brock Bowers, Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, Elijah Vera Tucker, Tippmann at the center. The second-year, second-round centers. Centers don't go in the second round unless they're really, really good.
Does that and sound like a Super Bowl
Gardner,
team?
And you got Sauce Gardner. And you got Quincy Williams and Quinnen Williams. Stop. You got McDonald. And you've got Jermaine Johnson. I mean, they got talent everywhere.
Can you just stop?
They've got talent everywhere.
Just a minute. You put up this front with the Kansas City Chiefs nonsense. You're still a Jets homer.
John Franklin Myers. They just added Javon Kinlaw.
And you're going to slobber over Michael Clemens. Are you going to slobber Michael Clemens walking in to training camp to report once again with the shirt off and how it's the greatest thing in the world?
And most importantly, they just re-signed Thomas Morstead, the punter.
Stop.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Stop. What do you think the Jets were going to do last year? What did you think they were going to do? I'm just asking. Heading into the season.
I thought the Jets were 10-7, 11-6, depending on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. And he got hurt, which sucks.
Well, yeah, and 4 plays into it, I realized the football gods hated me and the Jets, so I stopped liking them.
So now the football gods a year later are all of a sudden going to start liking you.
You know what? After what they did last year, they've been laughing at us for, what, since 1969, they've been laughing at us. So
at us? I thought you were a Chiefs fan.
Well, I was an us until this happened. They were laughing at us for all of my life, and then they pulled this move last year, and I feel like the football gods are like, all right, you know, now we're even. Broadway Joe, you guaranteed a Super Bowl. We injured your star quarterback after 4 plays and embarrassed you on national television after you ran out with an American flag, and the hope was higher than it's ever been in the Meadowlands for your gangrene. We're even. Football gods, we're even.
Okay. I'm telling you. You actually think the Jets can get to a Super Bowl this year.
If they stay healthy.
You're delusional.
If they stay healthy, this team rivals any team. On a talent level.
Oh, are you
on
high?
A talent level.
They don't have more talent than the 49ers. They don't have more talent than the Eagles.
They rival or at least can be in the conversation. Garrett Wilson is an all-pro caliber wide receiver. Tyron Smith was the second-ranked tackle last year. Morgan Moses, 10th. Elijah Vera Tucker was a first-round guard.
Oh, you don't know Joe crap Tittman about
was
Morgan
a second-round
Moses.
Center.
Give me a
Aaron
break.
Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer. Breece Hall was going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year before he got hurt. If they bring Brock Bowers in, he's going to be an elite-level tight end.
Time out. I'm not saying you guys are dreadful. You guys have a good team. But for you to sit up here and say they have more talent, they could rival any team in the NFL from a talent standpoint. Give me a break.
You look on the defense, John Franklin Myers, Javon Kinlaw, Quinnen Williams, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, all first-round picks. Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, all pro.
You can
Sauce
keep
Gardner,
on,
the
you
best
keep
corner
on
in the NFL.
The depth
DJ
charts
Reed,
and saying
who is
the
a
name.
Top 5 PFF
means nothing.
Corner.
Stop. Just stop. This is a good team.
Okay.
But they're not a top 5 talented roster in the NFL.
I disagree.
Give me a break.
I disagree. If they stay healthy.
You could say you disagree. You're wrong.
Okay.
You're flat out wrong.
I just reeled off all pro after all pro and PFF top 5 grades all up and down that roster. You can argue all you want. The facts speak for themselves.
Fake news, Samter. Jeez.
All right.
There's a different. This is my biggest.
I'm not saying they're a top 5 team.
This is my biggest flaw.
Roster,
stop talking for a second. This is my biggest flaw. People say good rosters are great rosters. Remember when the Jets last year said they were going to be the 85 Bears defense? How'd that work? They were a good defense, not a great defense. Come on. The Jets have a good team on paper. But the idea that you think they're anywhere in the same class as teams like the 49ers or the Philadelphia Eagles, even the Detroit Lions, I'm just going in the NFC. And then you have the AFC. The Bengals have a better roster. The Chiefs have a better roster. I know that the Chiefs don't have these great playmakers, but they have Patrick Mahomes and their defense. That's a great defense in Kansas City. That defense just won them a Super Bowl. All righty? Let's pump the brakes on the Jets' delirious talk already. But I will say I'll give you an updated top 10 mock draft with all this stuff. Williams won to the Bears. I think Daniel Jeremiah knows something. I don't know why I'm going to trust Daniel Jeremiah here. Drake May to the Commanders 2. Patriots snag Jaden Daniels 3. I like what Daniel Jeremiah said. McCarthy going 4 to the Vikings. I think there's going to be a trade there. And we're going to see quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3, 4. Then this is where we get interesting. Because you have a team then like the Chargers who thought they were going to get the second or third wide receiver, probably the second wide receiver. Now they're sitting there at five, and you could get Jim Harbaugh, the former Michigan coach, drafting the Ohio State legendary wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr. In at number six, the Giants are then there. I don't think they're taking Michael Penix Jr. at six. I think the Vikings jump them to take a quarterback, and then the Giants end up taking a playmaker. And I'm going to say, where there's smoke, there's fire with Malik Nabers. Like a month ago, I think it would have been a closer conversation, Nabers or Adunze. Personally, I like Adunze better. But now you have some people saying Nabers could usurp Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't buy that. I think the Giants end up taking Malik Nabers at six. Then in at number seven, I'm going to have the first offensive lineman go off the board. And that's going to be Tennessee taking Joe Alt. Then you have the Falcons, who have a ton of playmakers. They can land Roma Dunze in at eight. Bears get the first defensive player off the board. So you get Williams, and you then followed up with Dallas Turner in at nine. And then at 10, I do have the Jets adding into one of the most talented rosters in the league, according to Samter, getting Brock Bowers. I think the Jets make the play on Brock Bowers. So Williams won to the Bears. Commanders may. Pats take Daniels. McCarthy trade up to the Vikings. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers. In at number six, the Giants get Malik Nabers. Seven, Tennessee takes Joe Alt. Eight, the Falcons get Roma Dunze. Nine, the Bears select Dallas Turner. And then 10, the JTS Jets get Brock Bowers. All righty, that's the latest Zach Yelb Show top 10 mock draft that we will speculate. We'll take a break. When we come on back, more NCAA tournament talk. Brendan Haywood will join us next.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
We continue. It is the Zach Yelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Brendan Haywood is here, courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for the most up-to-date games, lines, futures, and props in the upcoming NCAA men's tournament. Brendan will be in Salt Lake City for the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. He's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Brendan, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. So let me start you off with your UNC Tar Heels, number one seed. Where's the confidence level with your squad heading into postseason play in the big dance?
Confidence is sky high right now. I love the way this Tar Heel team competes. I think RJ Davis is the best guard in the country, if not the best player in the country. I know we had a disappointing loss to NC State in the ACC tournament, but I do think that will serve to get the guys' attention. Instead of hearing about how great they are for the last couple of days, they'll have that hunger inside of them, and I'm sure they're going to come out there playing with their hair on fire.
So I look at future matchups and what the committee tries to do from a storyline standpoint. And if we could get an Elite Eight matchup with the spot to the Final Four on the line between UNC and Arizona with the Caleb Love connection, that would really be something. I think that's what everyone is hoping for if you're kind of neutral here when you take a look at that part of the bracket.
Yeah, I think everybody would love to see that matchup, but I don't think it will be the storyline that people think it is. Caleb Love and Carolina, they don't. It wasn't a divorce that ended badly. Normally, when a kid transfer out, he doesn't like the coaching staff, but Caleb still has a connection to the coaching staff. They actually call each other from time to time, and Caleb and some of the players on that team, they're still friends. So they would definitely be a big time competition. Obviously, he would love to have that matchup, but it wouldn't be the angst and the anger that you normally get when you have a kid transferring out of a program. Normally, it's a messy divorce. This was kind of amicable.
It's kind of the new norm now in college basketball. With NIL and the transfer portal, the divorces don't always have to be messy, and maybe this is just one of those situations like you're talking about. Brendan Haywood here with us. But on the other side, you look at Arizona. You know, we could talk about this UNC-Arizona matchup, and Tommy Lloyd has done a nice job at Arizona, but in the March Madness, 2 years ago, had the number one seed. They lost in the Sweet 16. Last year as a two, lost to Princeton. So what is kind of the view from afar on Arizona? Can they meet up to these expectations now headed into March?
I think one of the things that people do that is a misconception in the tournament, they judge you off of your past. Oh, if you lost early the last 2 years, you're going to lose this year. Well, this year's different. This year they have Caleb Love on the team, averaging 18 points a game, a guy that's been in big-time games before. He's hit big-time shots. You saw the shots he hit 2 years ago in the Final Four against Duke. This guy understands what it is in those type of moments. So I like this Arizona ball club. I like the big fella inside. I think Arizona's primed for a big-time run. And when I pick my bracket, I do have Carolina going up against Arizona in the Elite Eight.
How far do you have UNC going, by the way?
Come on, man, championship. If not, I'll be excommunicado. Come on now. I got my Tar Heels going all the way to the end.
So it's unique with UNC because we don't always get to see guys that play for 3-4 years. I know some guys right now could be fifth year because of the whole COVID year. When you look back at this group, especially Amando Bacot and everything he's been through, just as this is starting to come to a close, what has really stood out to you with his career from one big man to another?
Yeah, I mean, Bacot's been there a minute. He's about to get a doctor's degree. So it's one it's one of those ones where he's a seasoned veteran, but that's how you win now. These one-and-done guys, that's not who's winning. These veteran teams that have that are a little bit older and guys that have been there and been through some things, those are the teams that win. I think if Carolina is going to make a run, as much as we talk about R.J. Davis, Bacot has to be strong every single night and give us that inside presence. And I think he's capable of that. And he can almost – we've seen him do it before. He had a Sean May-ish type of run when they went to the Final Four a couple of seasons ago. And I think he can tap back into that again.
Talking to Brendan Haywood right now. Another game that you have is Gonzaga and McNeese. A lot of people are going to jump on the Will Wade train, and they're disrespecting Mark Few and Gonzaga just because this isn't the best team that they've ever had in this NCAA tournament. Do you think Gonzaga is getting a little bit disrespected this time of the year?
Yeah, I think Gonzaga is definitely getting disrespected. And normally Mark Few has a team that's been flying higher on the radar. You got a couple more NBA guys on the team. They don't have that this year, but that doesn't mean that they won't be ready. They won't be prepared. Mark Few, one of the best to ever do it. I like Gonzaga to win this game just because I think the coaching staff is going to have them ready to play.
And I take a look at this Midwest region. So you have Tennessee. There's always questions with Rick Barnes this time of the year, even though Dalton Connect is phenomenal in the SEC Player of the Year. Purdue with Matt Painter, they usually have early exit. It's in this NCAA tournament. Creighton has their limitations. And then there's Kansas. There's some health issues. We'll see if two of their players are going to be made available. But are people maybe sleeping on Kansas a little bit, or is it fair to wonder just when you don't know who's going to be able to play for them?
Well, right now, both their leading scorers are possibly out. They're saying they might get Hunter Dickerson back, but they're still going to be missing possibly 18 points per game from their leading scorers. So, there's reason to have questions about Kansas just because how good can a team be if they're that compromised? Normally, if your leading scorer is not there, you're going to struggle a little bit. So I think that Kansas, the questions are definitely valid. And especially if Hunter Dickinson's not there, because Bill Self's offensive has always been high-low. Even when he was at Illinois, it was all about the high-low offense. And if the high-low aspect isn't there and Hunter Dickinson is compromised, not 100% or not playing at all, that could really help Kansas, and Samford could go in there and sneak up on him.
The story of this tournament is going to be who's going to be able to take down UConn, if anybody at all. I think they're actually better this year than they were last year as a 4 seed a year ago, now the number one overall seed. How do you think UConn is going to deal with that pressure going into this tournament with only 3 losses on the year?
Listen, UConn's one of the better teams in the nation. They're number one in offense, number 11 in defense. That combination right there tells you who they are, excuse me, and what they're all about. They run excellent half-court sets. When you talk about some of those weak side pin downs, slip screens, all the things that they run, Coach Hurley has those guys getting easy offense because of how fluid the offensive execution is. So I really like UConn. I'd have them in the championship game if they weren't on the side of the bracket going against Carolina. But I understand the allure. This team's only lost 3 games all year. Those games have been on the road. They're a great team. They have championship DNA and experience, well-coached. I like UConn to make a big-time run. I definitely have them in my Final Four.
Well, do this. Let's just say take UConn out of the mix, and I'm going to take UNC out of the mix, because I know what the answer would be if I asked you. If you don't have UConn win it all, you're going to say UNC. Who is that team? If it's not UConn, if it's not UNC, who's the team that you really latch on to and say, okay, this is the team that Brendan Haywood likes the most?
Well, it's going to be a team that people are probably going to be a little bit sour on right now because of their last performance. That would be the Houston Cougars. Now, I know they got smacked by 20 by Iowa State, but this is one of the best defensive teams that we have in the country. Kelvin Sampson coaches aggressive defense. Those guys, that defense is always going to translate. They slow that game down. They're one of the slower teams when it comes to pace. They're going to slow it down, grind it out, play that high-level defense. They're going to be aggressive, too. You're going to have to keep them off the backboard, things of that nature. 50-50 balls or 80-20 balls. That's how Kelvin Sampson coaches. His guys go get those loose balls. And then I like Cryer and Shedd. This time of year, you need a backcourt. You need guards that can go get it on their own when things break down. And I think that I like that Houston has two of those guys.
Last thing I'll ask you, some people are saying they're more excited for the women's tournament than the men's tournament. I'm more excited for the men's tournament, but I don't say that with any disrespect, right? We all know how great Caitlin Clark is. South Carolina is undefeated. We have the story of Angel Reese as well as LSU's trying to win another championship. You got Paige Buckets. How about the developments and the advancements of the women's game? Because we're talking about it now a lot more than we have in previous years.
Well, I think this is probably the first time since I've been watching college basketball that the elite upper echelon stars on the women's side, not the men's side. You talk about Caitlin Clark. You talk about Angel Reese. You talk about Juju Watkins. Like, the elite names on the women's side. Like, in the men's game, we have some really good teams. I talk about Houston, but you're not going to mention a guy like LJ Cryer in the same category as a Caitlin Clark. Or we talk about Angel Reese and what LSU is doing. And that, like, the names on the women's side are bigger than the names on the men's side. And that's just where it is right now. And that signifies two things. First of all, men's college basketball this year is a little bit down from an overall talent standpoint. We're going to get an infusion of talent next year. And then also it talks about how where the women's game has made strides, and the women's game is really picking up. And some of the most watched games this year have been on the women's side. So I'm happy for the attention and exposure that they're getting, because it's well overdue.
And you bring up a great point, because usually in college athletics, the names really resonate with coaches. The women's game, we're talking more about the players. In the men's game, there's not many players that you bring up. And I would say probably the face of men's college basketball right now is Danny Hurley, because, you know, he'll be a maniac on the sideline. He could be polarizing. 50% of the people love him. 50% of the people hate him. And most importantly, he coaches at a big brand and a school that I consider a blue blood in UConn.
Yeah, and that's part of garnering attention as well. When you have people when you have those haters, those people that tune in just to see you fail, that's going to lift your brand up. And so Hurley definitely has that. Some people don't like him. Me personally, I like the fact that he's passionate and he coaches with a little bit of fire. Long as he keeps it under wraps to a certain degree, I don't have a problem with it at all. I think his guys don't have a problem with it, but don't get it twisted. They are one of the most prepared teams in college basketball when you talk about offensive execution and defensive efficiency.
You in or out on Kentucky this year?
I want to be in because they're so fun, but something in my heart is a defensive big man, a team that's that bad defensively. seems like they might have some long days in the tournament, but they can score with anybody. You know what, man? I'm all here for the fun. Let's go with Kentucky to make a big time run as well, just simply because when you talk about Dillingham, Shepherd, they have two guys that are definitely going to be taken in the top 10, might be taken in the top 5, and they can score on anybody with that immense three-point ability. But their defense does scare me. I mean, they might let me go out there and get 15 to 20 on them right now, and I don't even have a left knee.
What a line. Well, you can catch him all throughout the tourney. First two rounds, Salt Lake City. He'll be there. Brendan Haywood is here, courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for the most up-to-date game lines, futures, and props in the upcoming NCAA men's tournament. Brendan, enjoy the week coming up next week. Thanks so much for doing this. You be well.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There he is, Brendan Haywood, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and he gets set to call his games coming up on Thursday in Salt Lake City. Let's do this. I'll tell you the poll question right now, and then we'll react to it on the other side. You can find it at Zach Gelb at CBS Sports Radio, and you can chime on in. Which NCAA tournament are you more interested in this year, the men's or the women's? 80.3% right now says the men's NCAA tournament. I'll chime in, give my 2 cents on the other side, and we'll grab your phone calls as well. 855-212-4CBS. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll get into our poll question and give you a final answer on this in just a moment. Which NCAA tournament are you more interested in this year, the men's tournament or the women's tournament? But Matt in Arizona wants to chime in first about the NFL draft and what the Cardinals should do at 4. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Matt, go ahead.
Zach, love the show, man. Thanks for taking my call. A big Cardinals fan. If you're the Cardinals, you can't pass up Harrison if he's there with the 4 pick. You don't have a number 1 wideout. You don't have a number 2. You barely have a number 3 wideout going into the season. You need an offensive weapon for Murray. And I know they need offensive line, and they need a bunch of stuff, but you got to give him some weapons and give him a shot. I think you got to see if Murray's actually your guy. I don't think they should have extended him to begin with. But you got to let him sink or swim, but you got to give him a fair shot, too.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be fascinated, Matt, by what the new regime with Monty Ossenfort is going to do now in year number 2. Because you just made up a big point that's getting lost in this. I know that the extension was given to Kyler Murray, but it wasn't given to Kyler Murray under this regime. So will Monty Ossenfort feel like there's pressure to get the most around Kyler Murray this year? And if that's the case, you take Marvin Harrison Jr., and I've said this 9,000 times on this show, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. pound for pound is the best player in the draft. But if Monty Ossenfort's like, I got to set up the team for the next quarterback, like the Vikings could call you and give you 2 additional first-round picks in, you know, in addition to the move from 4 to 11 that you'll fall back, and he may be, Monty Ossenfort, someone that comes for the Patriot way, kind of in that business of trying to acquire the most picks possible. And you got to remember, right, a year ago, he traded out of that 3 spot and picked up an extra first-round pick from the Texans. Now, little did we know, the Texans were actually going to be good, but at the time, everyone thought that was going to be an extra top-5 pick that you were going to get. So I understand the Cardinal fans saying, I want to see what could happen with Kyler Murray. Because Kyler Murray, before the injury, was trending to be a good quarterback. We don't know if he could be great. And if that's the case, and you want to put him in the best position to succeed for this year, then you go get Marvin Harrison Jr. I just don't know if where there's smoke, there's a fire, that the Vikings are trying to get McCarthy or May, they're going to pass up getting that boatload in return if the Commanders and the Patriots stay put at 2-3.
Good points. Good points. Hey, by the way, before I go, don't play Pearl in dodgeball. He's so fragile, he'll end up breaking another bone. You know, he's got so many issues.
Oh, you know what?
Thanks for taking my call.
Matt, appreciate it. They poked the bear. I was in hibernation. There's many times I'm not trying to deliver haymakers. There's many times I am trying to deliver haymakers, but now it's in March. We're getting close to April. We're in the basketball season. It's not football right now. I know there's a bunch of stuff with the draft and off season, but it's not when I'm going crazy like a maniac. I'm not looking to smack another show right now. Trust me, there's many other months out of the year where I'll be more than happy with a little friendly fire here and SmackDown. But Samter, it was really EJ who kind of poked the bear here, and now I feel that we have to play them in dodgeball. But Matt in Arizona brings up a good point. Perloff would be a perfect person on the Jets. He always gets hurt. Like, big offseason acquisition, and then he gets hurt. Perloff could walk into that dodgeball game feeling pretty damn good, but he's going to find a way to get hurt once again. Ever since being on CBS Sports Radio, he's had a finger injury. Now, I think he has something with his Achilles he was telling me about last time I saw him, or he has an MCL injury, something like that. This dude's a walking wounded right now. We play him in dodgeball, and Samter, you know, we like starve Samter for a week, get him some pent-up frustration. Samter will be like a, you know, bull. We'll let him right out of the pit, and the next thing you know, Samter's going to be throwing just dodgeball after dodgeball at Andrew Perloff. I really think all we need is Samter to win a game of dodgeball against the morning show. I don't even think I'm necessary. I don't think Ack is necessary. I don't think Stu's necessary. I think Samter, if we get enough rage cooking up with Samter, could take down anyone at the network in a game of dodgeball.
And you've seen it. There is a lot of rage inside of me.
Yeah. All we need to do is just have a PR person schedule about a guest. And then 2 minutes before the interview, cancel the guest. And then Samter, I would feel very confident in him taking down any host here, any behind-the-scenes person here in a game of dodgeball. Now, let me get to this NCAA tournament question. Which NCAA tournament are you more interested in this year? Is it the men's or is it the women's? Right now, 80.7% of our poll questions say the men's over the women's. I think Brandon Haywood made a great point. The stars, the way that we recognize players, there's more star players in the women's tournament than the men's tournament. You have Caitlin Clark. You got Angel Reese. You got Paige Buckets, just for starters. There are more people that you could recognize from a player standpoint that are big names in the women's game compared to the men's game. The men's game right now doesn't have big recognizable stars. Like Dalton Knecht, he just won the SEC Player of the Year. He's a first-team All-American. Like in the SEC, anyone could tell you who Dalton Knecht is. But if you go down the streets, you know, not in SEC country, and say, do you know who Caitlin Clark is or Dalton Knecht? I think there's a better chance people will connect and give you the answer on Caitlin Clark.
Connect, haha.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. I don't even have to say no pun intended because that was pun intended. I think it's same as with Angel Reese. You know, I think more people know who Angel Reese is than Dalton Knecht. You know, maybe some people remember Armando Bacot from the last UNC run, but there are not a lot of big recognizable names in men's college basketball. And men's college basketball, and really football for the most part, is basically marketed off the faces being with the coaches. So it is tougher to understand which men's stars there are, and there's more stars in the women's game. But with that being said, I don't think, even though there's palpable buzz with this women's tournament, I don't think the ratings are going to be better than the men's tournament. Like last year, I'm reading this article in Forbes. March Madness Finals ratings set a record high for women, record low for men. So a record high for the women's game last year, it averaged 9.92 million viewers. That was the Iowa-LSU game. And it peaked at 12.6 million. Now the men's final, which was UConn over San Diego State, it was a record low. It was still 14.69 million viewers. So I still believe that the men's tournament is going to create more buzz than the women's tournament. But Samter, you've been here since the inception of the network. I'm sure there's been a ton of years, probably more years than not, that the women's tournament didn't really even get talked about that much until the Final Four. The men's tournament gets talked about all throughout. I still think that's going to be the case, but even I will say, and I have more interest in the men's tournament than the women's tournament. And it's just the way that I'm gonna watch. I'll watch more of the men's, right? My entire life, I watch more of the men's than the women's. But the fact that this is even a conversation, and someone like me, I am intrigued by South Carolina. You know, I love Dawn Staley. Can they find a way to be undefeated? Can they find a way to reach perfection? I will go out of my way when Iowa is playing to watch Caitlin Clark because she's basically the Steph Curry of the women's game. So there are names and there are storylines throughout the year that even someone that doesn't watch much college basketball, women's college basketball, will be familiar with. And I saw that the bracket came out for the women's, and they actually put Iowa and LSU in the same region. So you could see, now LSU is a 3 seed this year, and Iowa's a 1, but you could have them meeting up in the Elite 8 for a spot in the Final Four on the line. I don't know about you. Is that the committee saying that they just don't believe LSU was going to get to the Final Four and they wanted that Iowa, they wanted a guarantee maybe of seeing Iowa LSU? Because even though it's not guaranteed, it's probably more likely that they would meet up in an Elite 8 if you have them in the same region rather than you put them on the opposite side of the bracket just hoping that they're going to get to the championship game. Or maybe you could have put them on the same, like the right side of the bracket where they all, both of them avoid South Carolina and have one on the top part of the bracket and one on the bottom part of the bracket.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. It feels so weak to put the two biggest draws in the same region.
Yeah.
If you at least put them on the same side of the bracket so they meet in the Final Four, fine. That still feels a little bit weak. It's Caitlin Clark, it's Angel Reese, it's LSU, the defending champs.
The storyline from last year.
It's all of that, and they met in that epic championship game. Like, there was so much to get into. It does feel a little bit anticlimactic, but maybe we get a better chance of seeing that game. Here's my thing. LSU's interesting. Angel Reese is interesting. Kim Mulkey is interesting.
Well, she scares me, Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, you've said
that. There is no coach in sports that intimidates me more than Kim Mulkey. Like, she has a lot of grandchildren. They always show her grandchildren, I believe. If Kim Mulkey was, like, yelling at me, I would fear for my life. I would absolutely fear for my life. You got to stop typing. You got your microphone on. I keep on hearing the typing. It drives me crazy. But go ahead. Continue the point that you were making.
But as scary as Kim Mulkey is and as good as Angel Reese is, I'm not watching a single women's tournament game that doesn't include Caitlin Clark. I'm not watching South Carolina.
I'll watch South Carolina.
I'm watching Caitlin Clark and Caitlin Clark only. That's it. Those are the only games I'm going to be watching. And I think that for the majority of sports watching fans, outside of like women's college basketball fans, I would say that's the majority of people. Yes, Angel Reese is interesting. I don't care enough. South Carolina is great. Dawn Staley's awesome. I don't care enough. Caitlin Clark drives the needle.
Big draw.
I'm going to watch Caitlin Clark, and I'm going to watch the men's tournament, even though I barely know any of the top 10 players, because the men's game, and this is what we talk about, guys are one and done. The best players are one and done. So just when they're getting good, they're gone, right? The reason why we know Angel Reese was she was there last year in the championship. We know Caitlin Clark because she's been there for 4 years breaking records and dominating,
yeah.
Right? Those old Duke teams, Leitner, Hurley, even the UNLV teams and the Fab Five, they were there for 2, 3, 4 years depending on the player. So you got to know the player. They came back year after year. We don't get that anymore. So you don't know the players anymore. It's all about the coaches. That's why the men's game isn't as interesting.
So I will agree with you. LSU is not as big of a draw this year, unless they're up against Iowa. Like, I'm looking at this tournament on the women's side. There's three things that are appealing to me. Number one is Caitlin Clark. Number two is seeing Caitlin Clark go up against Angel Reese for a spot for the Final Four on the line, with it being LSU and then it being Iowa. And then third is Dawn Staley and seeing if she could get this undefeated run at South Carolina. But yeah, I would still say, like, I will go out of my way to watch as many of the men's game as possible. Like, on Thursday, I will change my schedule on Friday, change my schedule in the morning. So right when that ball is thrown up in the air, I am there for the first game. For the women's tournament, those are the three ways that I'm watching it. But it's, you know, it just shows you the growth of the sport and the popularity of it with how much we have talked about it and how much it's being brought up that this is even a conversation. But it's not reflecting. I know it's a small sample size, but it's not reflecting in our polls. But I will be curious what the total ratings will end up being. And right now, which NCAA tournament are you more interested in? 80.3% say the men's and 19.7% say the women's tournament. All right, that concludes another edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I would recruit Kim Mulkey, by the way, to join our dodgeball team if she wants. She would be very good on the dodgeball court. I can guarantee you that. Very much a big thanks to Chris Hess, Michael Samter as well, Christian Leitner for joining us, Brendan Haywood, and each and every one of you for participating, whether it's in the chat or on the phones or just listening to us on the radio or on the Odyssey app, SiriusXM as well. All righty, we out. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/grow.